Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We are the people of the church. We are your people. You've made us priests in your kingdom. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We celebrate this morning. Lord, we thank you for the choir. We thank you for this all ages, all generations, singing this morning praise to your name. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that you give us in this place. And we honor Jesus today. We come before you asking you to help us in our relationships with one another. And as we go to our world to tell them about Jesus, help us to follow you and to love one another and to tell the world about Jesus. So we rejoice today. Our hearts are full. Thank you for the wonderful blessing of being able to gather in this place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. Good to see you if you're a guest here with us. Wasn't that great this morning with the choir and all of our students and children? That was a blessing. Thank you, Steve, and thank you for all of your leadership. So if you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're looking these days. And I'm talking to the church about what I call real love. Real love. We started last week, and over the next few weeks, as we're preparing and moving toward Easter, I hope that you're participating with us in our 40 days in the Psalms. You can pick up the books at the Welcome Center if you'd like to join us. Very important as we prepare ourselves for Easter and the resurrection of our Lord. So we're thinking about what it means to be together here at First Baptist Church and to live together and love one another. And so one of the most famous chapters in all the Bible would be up there with Psalm 23 and others. We might think of Romans chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 13 is one of those most phenomenal chapters in the Bible where Paul is helping this Corinthian church in the middle of talking to them about their gifts in chapter 12, spiritual gifts that we all have who know Jesus. Those of us who are born again, we've been given spiritual gifts to help the church. And so many of those gifts have been on, public gifts have been seen today, but there are also other quiet and private gifts that we have. But in the midst of talking to this church about spiritual gifts and giftedness, which is important, Paul says there is a more excellent way to live. And then he begins to talk about real love. Love like Jesus has shown for us and God the Father has shown for us. So I'd like for you to stand now and honor the reading of God's word, and let's read again 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Then Paul begins to describe what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are languages, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been known fully. But now faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So now, Heavenly Father, we stand hearing your word, holding a copy of God's word in our hands. And we are responsible for the words, the eternal words, these living, life-giving words that we've heard today. And so, Lord, in all of our relationships with one another, not only here in the church, but in our families, where we work, in our schools, and in all of our relationships with strangers, and even those who would hate us and be our enemies, we pray that you might help us to understand real love as the Apostle Paul has described it for us, so that we might truly be your people. And because, as Jesus told us, Heavenly Father, you have told us through Jesus, by this will all men know that you are my followers, if you love one another. So, Lord, may the love of God in Jesus Christ and the love we have for one another be powerful and real among us with the help of the Holy Spirit. May my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So I want you to see, first of all, this morning, that real love is the grace which unites all the Christian graces. So the Bible tells us that Jesus was full of grace. Jesus was a gracious person. And in his graciousness, we learn much about what it means to live like Jesus. To follow Jesus means to live like Jesus. And Jesus was full of grace. And we, who are God's people, who are born again, we come to know the Lord. And you know what? More and more, as life goes along, we become gracious people. People see in us graciousness. And so Galatians 5:22, I put here on the screen. We've talked about it before. When I come to know Jesus and I'm born again, the Bible tells me that a new fruit starts to grow, a new kind of result of behavior and emotions and actions starts to be seen in my life. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, Paul begins by saying, is love. I'm convinced that the rest of these graces are tied together by love. Love is the greatest. Love is the most important. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the graces we want. That's the graciousness we want to live with. That's what we want other people to see in us. Paul says in another place, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, he uses this language which teaches us about the priority of love. The priority of love. He says in chapter 3, verse 14, he's been talking about, as God's people, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. But then he says, beyond all these things, listen, church, I'm talking to us. Beyond all of these things, put on love. Just like when I came in here this morning, I put on my coat. My coat covers my shirt, covers my body, this coat, this jacket. Put on love. Notice, love is the perfect bond. It's the rope. It's what ties together, unifies God's people. What is it that brings us together and unites us? Our acceptance of the same truths of God's word? Our giftedness and abilities? No. Beyond all of that, put on love. Put on love, church. Put it on. You wake up, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you put on love. You put it on. And then Peter says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Here's the fact, folks. Here it is. I said this last week and I want to repeat it, but I want to move quickly because I want to get to a better description of love. Real love is the most excellent way for you to live. It's the most excellent way for you to live here at church, as we live with one another here. We love one another in your family, in all of your relationships, even with those who hate you, despise you, and treat you in an inappropriate way. Real love is the most excellent way to live. It is superior to all other things. Boys and girls, loving other people like Jesus, that's what we must do. It's the most excellent way. But there's something else I must quickly say. Listen to me. Please hear me. Real love is for real people. And you know the problem with real people? They don't always get it right. Real people, they have their brokenness. Real people, they can be hateful and hard to deal with. Real people, they live in their brokenness and sometimes in their quiet desperation. They don't talk to anybody else about how they really feel, but they are deeply in despair and discouraged. Real people who are happy and joyous in the good things of life. Real people need real love. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, real people need real love. Share it with your neighbor. So it's true. Love leads and unites all of our graces. So whatever else I do to you, whatever else I do to you, I must love you. And the second thing, quickly, real love produces effectiveness in the use of our spiritual gifts. So we read last week, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of these languages, these supernatural abilities to speak in languages I've not learned to honor Jesus, but I don't have love, it's just like noise. If I have the gift of preaching, prophecy, and I know mysteries, and I have knowledge, and I have all faith, but I don't have love, it's nothing. The gifts without love don't matter. The gifts without love don't benefit. If I give all my possessions, if I'm an amazing giver, I give my monies and I give my gifts to take care of those who are in need. And even if I sacrifice myself and become a martyr for the faith, if I don't have love, there's no profit in it. So the worship gifts, the preaching gifts, the knowledge gifts, the faith gifts, the giving gifts, all of these gifts, they don't work without love. They don't work without love. We don't do our ministry. We don't carry out our work here as God's people using our spiritual gifts. And by the way, that's what we do. We talk to this church all the time in Disciple Life about all of you who are part of this church, who are born again, knowing what your spiritual gifts happen to be and putting them to work. We need you to put them to work. But the only way our gifts matter, the only way they matter, the only way we move forward and the body is strengthened is when we love each other. So now we come into this section, beginning in verse number 4 and going through verse number 7, where Paul helps us, uses some words to explain, so what does real love look like? What does real love look like? How do we understand it? How do we get our minds around it? What is love? You know, there's so many of us that have misunderstandings about love. We're not talking about love for chocolate cake here. We're not talking about love for basketball now that March Madness starts. We're not talking about love of your property and your houses and your possessions or your dog. Or we're talking about a love that acts. A-C-T-S, that acts. Love has action, not just emotion. Love acts and responds. So I want us to look at verse number 4 and talk with third. This is what I want to spend the most time on. Real love is the way we live with one another. It is the most excellent way, but this is how we get along here. This is how we live with one another at First Baptist Church. Paul's first application of these words about love had to do with the church loving each other. So that's where I'm going as we speak about these, even though these love principles of loving other people do apply in other parts of our life. I want to talk about our love for one another here at First Baptist Church. We're not always on target. Sometimes we fail each other. Sometimes we don't love each other like we ought to. Nevertheless, God has given us in His Word a clear understanding of what He expects of us to do toward each other, and the most excellent way, the way I am to live with you and you're to live with me is in a love relationship with one another. So let's get to it. We're going to look at verse number 4 and look at quickly 5 of these descriptive words. Now I must remind all of you, you hold in your hands an English translation of the Bible. It's important to remember this, and we teach this to our people here in the church, but Paul wrote these words originally in the Greek language. So in the Greek language, there were multiple words used to describe love. This word that Paul uses is agape. You've heard it before. Agape love. Sacrificial, selfless love. That's the kind of love I have to have for you. That's the kind of love you have to have for me. So it is this selfless love we want to talk about. And I want us to take for a moment and look at today, verse 4, these 5 words. Paul gives 2 of these descriptors in a positive sense, and then he gives 3 of them, in fact, 8 of these ways he talks about love. He says love is not this. Sometimes the best way to know what something is to say what it's not. So here we begin by noticing love is patient. Patient love. Now we've brought up one of your favorite words, haven't we? Patience. Don't you love that word? Patience. Some of you read the from the King James Bible, and it's translated very well. In fact, this Greek word, patience, means long-tempered. Long-tempered, or as the King James Bible says, long-suffering. Listen to me. To love somebody, to really love somebody, you suffer. Did you know that? Real people need real love, and they just don't cooperate. And so you have to love them, and you have to have a long-suffering attitude. You have to suffer long and endure. You suffer and endure in lots of ways. Folks, listen. Patient love endures personal wrongs without retaliation. There is no retaliation. We love people. We love them. We love them here in the church without personal retaliation. Patient love endures the imperfections and faults of others. If you're with somebody long enough, they're going to aggravate you about something that they do, or something they say, or some way that they act. And we rub shoulders around here a lot. There's a whole lot of us that are here together a lot of the time. And so we have this obligation in our love for one another. The way of love is first a patient love. Maybe you can change this phrase and read it another way to help you get it. I read it sometimes like this. Love will be patient. Love will, second, be kind. Now, kindness is a word that a lot of the men in here don't like the word kindness. They think that's kind of a woman word. You know, kindness is a weak word. Kindness is not weakness. Actually, the Greek word for kind is a word that means useful or to be of service. To serve someone, it's a word akin to service. It's being useful to someone else. Listen. It's being helpful to somebody without any expectation for a repayment. It's being kind without expecting anything in return. In fact, let me read what the Lord Jesus said about this in Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. He says, agapeo, love your enemies. Oh, wait a minute. I got to start by first learning how to love those that are with me in the church, that sing praise to Jesus, that follow the Lord, that read the Word of God, that share the same values with me. I got to first start learning how to love the ones that my brothers and sisters in Christ. But all of a sudden we're reminded we do have to also love our enemies. Listen to what Jesus said. Luke 6:35, love your enemies and do good and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. This is the Christian life. This is the expression of love to the world. We don't expect anything back from those in Dixon County and the surrounding counties where we live. When we express our love for them in Jesus, we just do what we do. We do it out of patient, kind love, expecting nothing in return. And then Jesus said, your reward will be great, and you will be, when you do this, you will be sons, children of the Most High. Listen, now this is the best phrase of all. Luke 6:35, for he himself, God himself, is kind to ungrateful and evil men. The word kind there is the same word. God the Father has been kind to all of us when we were ungrateful and evil people. Amen? He's been kind to us. Did you know Paul said in the book of Romans about kindness? Romans 2:4, the kindness of God leads to repentance. You know why I came to Jesus and repented? Because God showed kindness to me. Aren't you glad you have experienced the kindness and grace of God? Aren't you glad, church? You see, real love is the way we live. Patient love, kind love, not expecting anything in return. I don't want anything from you. You don't want anything from me. We express our love to each other kindly and patiently. And then Paul takes the next eight words and turns them into a negative. He says love is first patient love, kind love, but then he says love is not jealous. This word jealous has the idea of zeal, to be zealous. It's an emotion. Really, a better translation for us is the word envy. Have you ever had any envy for anybody? The Bible tells us we shouldn't envy anything our neighbor has. We shouldn't covet or have envy for anything of our neighbors. But you see, when I love somebody, I will not be envious of that person. I will not envy them. It is the idea of not being displeased. You know, envy is this. You've got something better than me, and I'm displeased that you have something better than me. Envy has the idea in it that I don't have a desire for your best, but love desires the best for the other person. Love desires the best for the other person, not envy. Oh, we say sometimes, and I see this all the time, it's interesting, all through marriages and families, sometimes you see this rivalry, this envy go on between husbands and wives, one trying to one-up the other. There's an envy, not a love for one another, an envy. Why, there sometimes is even an envy between a rivalry that develops, this idea that sometimes one parent's upset and envious because of the children's relationship to the other parent or to grandparents or to someone else. Oh, wait, remember, love. Love is not envious. Love does not express envy. Love, in fact, wants the true success of the other person more than they want success for themselves. The next word, he says, love is patiently kind. Love is kindly love. Love is not jealous love. Love does not brag. Oh, you'll love this. So we were all reading this in the Greek language. You'd love it. It's the idea, literally the word is to be a windbag. Just blowing it out there. The idea of self-flattery. Talk. You know, billowing, blabbering, wind blab. Finally, we need to stick a sock in the hole of the windbag. Love will not windbag. Love stops talking and listens. Love that is not bragging doesn't try to make oneself more important than the other person. No. It's not about me. It's about you. When I love someone, it's about them. I don't envy them. I wish the best for them. And I don't just win back. Love will not brag and boast about personal achievement or success. It's about the other person, not win bagging. But then we come to the last. Love is not puffed up. This word arrogant is an idea of being puffed up, to be swollen, to be swelled up. Love doesn't grasp for praise and power. And you know what's sad? When we have arrogance in our life, you know what we do? Listen, we use people. We use people. Because we're the most important person, these other people help me accomplish and get what I want. But love will not be proud. Love will not be arrogant. Love does not disrespect others. No, we respect them. Love does not act in arrogance as if you don't need these people. Sometimes people will say this, well, you know, I'm going to love God and I'm going to be around these people because I like these people, but I'm not going to be around those people. Wait a minute. Hold on. We're all a part of the body of Christ here. Paul reminds us, those of us who are followers of Jesus, chapter 12, 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. You're not important. Or like modern people say, you're invisible to me. No. Hey, real people need love, and everybody here is visible. You might close your eyes. You might try to get away from them. But is that real love? Is that real love? Is that real love for real people who have maybe hurt you, annoyed you, done something towards you, and sometimes it's been years since it was done to you, but you're still carrying it? No. Real love is the way we live with one another without arrogance, without ignoring, and without using other people. So as I finish today, I want to give you these five words in a little bit different phrase. So let me put up the last slide. The real way of love. Here's the way I want you to hear this as we close today. Listen, I'm just about done. Here's another way you can express these five statements of what it means to love somebody. Do you love other people? Do you love them like Jesus wants you to love them? Well, then this is the way you would express yourself to those people. Some of them are unlovable. Some of them are hard to love. Some of them treat you in an inappropriate way and have in the past, but here's what love says. I will be patient with you whatever you do to me. Was that not Jesus? Was that not Jesus, church? Whatever was done to him, he patiently loved. His disciples, those that opposed him and finally crucified him. I will be patient with you whatever you do to me. That's the language of love. That's the language of love here in our church. I will be patient with you, whatever you do to me. I will be kind to you, no matter how you treat me, if you ignore me, if you criticize me, if you ridicule me, if you act as if I'm not alive, no matter how you treat me, I'm going to be kindly loving. Those at your school, boys and girls, some of them don't treat you well. Love them anyway. Love them anyway. Be kind. Be patient. I'm not going to envy you. I want the best for you. That's what love says. What's the best for you in our relationship? If I know you and you know me, how do we help each other be our best? That's why later on we read in the Bible how we're to provoke one another to love. You see, this is how you do it. If I'm loving you, you're going to love me. We're going to love one another. We're going to provoke each other to love each other, not envying and certainly not windbagging. I won't boast to you about me. I want to hear about you. Love says, so tell me how you're doing. Love says, how are you today? Love listens more than talks. And love does not carry pride and arrogance that we are the most important. No, I won't show pride to you because you know what? I'm looking around here. You're all more important than me. The center of the world is not me. It's you. It's you. So the real way of love, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Listen, church, remember, real love is for real people. It's like the old preacher I grew up, he was my mentor, he said it to me many, many times. I'll say it to you all again. I've said it to this church for years. Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time. They may not tell you they are, but everybody here, real people, everyday people, we all got something we're carrying. And what we need more than anything else is not a lecture. Not a lecture. Not somebody to tell us how it's going to be better, but someone who says, whatever you do to me, I'm going to stand with you. No matter how you treat me, I'm going to be kind to you. I want the best for you. I want to hear about you, and you are more important than me. To love and to be loved is God's best for us. It's the most excellent way. And so may we learn as a church, the most excellent way is to love. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Perhaps you're here this morning, and as I've been speaking, you say, Pastor Mike, I don't think I'm capable of love like that. Well, friend, listen, the only way you can love like this is to know Jesus Christ, to be born again, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It won't happen any other way. You can make up your mind you're going to do something better towards somebody. You can try to talk yourself into it. But you see, this comes from the inside. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It comes from the inside out. So this morning, all of us who know Jesus, you must put on, church, put on love. Put it on. But for those of you who don't know Jesus here this morning, maybe you've never prayed to receive Christ, or recently you've prayed to receive Christ, but you've never publicly told the church, I have trusted Christ, I've been born again, or I want to be born again. Well, that's the next step for you, friend. So many, many, many people through these 125 years of First Baptist Church have come, and we've stood and we've sung. It's been our tradition for hundreds of years to stand and invite people to come and tell the preacher that they're ready to follow Jesus. So we're going to do that in just a moment. Some of you are here and you need to join this church. Look, we are here to love one another. And being a part of the church is the way we express our love for each other. We care for one another. We care for one another. We love one another. We patiently love, kindly love each other. If you need to join this church and you've been praying about it for some time, you come down and take us by the hand and say, look, it's time for me to come. It's time for me to be a part of First Baptist Church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for real love you have shown to us so that we might express real love to others. If we've not done a good job in the past, forgive us. Cleanse us and forgive us of our sins. And help us to be people who love one another from the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray you'd bless those who need to make decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?